We're going to go to Matthew 16, Matthew's Gospel 16, and we shared this a bit at the prayer meeting on Thursday evening, but it's something that we need to be equipped in our prayers, that we pray in the right way. And I've seen some results even this last week, just praying, using this word, and seeing what God does. So, you know, we're working on a word that God gave to us a little while ago about going through the gates, Isaiah 62, 10 to 12. We talked about us going through the gates. And God, for us as a church, he wants us to go through the gates. He wants us to go into new territory. And, you know, when you go into new territory, you want to go into new areas, we hit a resistance. And we have to decide then whether we give up and go back, or whether we go forward and we go through these gates. Because God's got some great things for us as a church. I said God's got some great things for us as a church. Now, you may not believe it, but I do. God has got great things for your life and my life. He's got great things for this church. And if you begin to see it, then it doesn't matter what happens around you. Once you've seen it, then that's what you'll work towards. And God says that we're to go through the gates. Go through the gates. It says, he said, prepare the way for the people. Take out the stones, take out the things that are in the way, and raise up a banner. Raise up the banner of God's victory. And in Micah chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, it speaks in there about Jesus coming and breaking things open. We can't do anything without him. And that God wants us to break things open. God, in fact, Jesus has come. He's our head. He's come to break things open so that we can break through. And you read about it in Micah chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. And all of these things cannot happen unless we pray. The whole purpose of this is that God wants he wants to teach us how to pray. Is this making a funny noise? Okay. Teach us how to pray. And let's go to Matthew 16. And we're looking this morning at, we'll read at verse 13. Because the Lord wants us to know that he's given us authority in prayer. When we pray his word, when we speak out his word, things happen. And let's read at verse 13 here. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, and he said, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Peter had a revelation that day when Jesus asked the question, who am I? And the Holy Spirit gave Peter a divine flash, like a news flash that came from heaven. And he saw, for the first time really, that Jesus, the rabbi, the teacher that they've been following, who did these incredible things, he got the revelation that he really is the Son of God. He's actually God. And Peter got a revelation when Jesus asked the question, and he heard himself speak these words. So he had not thought about this first. He actually got a revelation while Jesus asked the question. He said, you are the Christ. He was literally saying, you're the Messiah. And any Jew would know that the Messiah means that's God. That's God become a man. And he was saying, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response to this was, he said, I'm going to change your name. And you're going to be a rock. And on this great big rock, talking about Christ, like the great big rock of Gibraltar, I'm going to build my church. So he said, you're going to be Christ-like. You're going to be a rock. But I'm going to build my church on the rock, which is Christ himself. And it says, I will build my church, Jesus said, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So here we have Jesus makes this amazing statement. He says, I will build my church. Now, the church is made up of people, children, young people and adults, people who are born again by the Spirit of God, people who have repented from their sins and turned and received him, and they are his called out ones. And we learnt just this last week when Tom and Jane Hammond were here, one of the things they spoke about, they mentioned about the church. They said one of the whole things, we're not just a called together people, we're a called out people, called to decree, called to declare. Is part of the meaning of that group of people. They've been called out to be a people and called out to make a declaration, called to declare things. And here's Jesus saying, I will build my church, he says, it's his church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So Les, if you'd like to stand up, and Nigel, if you stand up here in the middle. I want you just to imagine this morning that these two handsome young men here, who'd like to stand facing me, you are gates, okay? So if you like to link your arms together. Now they represent, right, they represent the gates of hell or the gates of Hades. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades, just have a bit of opposition towards me. Okay, so it's saying the gates of Hades... The gates of Hades, let's have a few more people come and join me, come on. David, come up here, and Simon, okay. I just want you to understand what this literally means. Jesus said, I will build my church. See, I've got some tall, big men with me. So either side of me. So Jesus said, I will build my church, right? And the gates of Hades, now we march forward, the gates of Hades will not prevail. Mind out the way. Get out the way. We break your power in the name of Jesus, right? And we break through, right? Now then, that's it. Now that's the meaning of that verse. The meaning of the verse is that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not be able to withstand the forward moving, the forward marching church, because Jesus is at the head of his church. And he says, that's the kind of people I need. That's the kind of people I want you to be. That you don't just stand there or sit there or lie there, but you rise up and you march forward. It's an attitude. It's a faith attitude that you have inside of here, that you're always moving forward. Amen. Amen. Now, Satan will try and withstand us, but if we're moving forward, if we're marching forward as we were, we've been called to break through those gates, that resistance where the enemy holds ground. Amen. And we heard a lot when Tom and Jane came about gates, and it's kind of good that we're looking at this scripture as well, because it fits within the whole thing here, that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The gates represent authority. They represent the power, in this case the powers of darkness, where Satan has a hold, as he has many holds over this nation. Now, what's the church been called to do? The church, God's people, have been called to rise up in prayer, firstly, and then in action to march against the church, march against the powers of darkness. And the gates represent governmental authorities. In other words, we're not talking about the government. We're talking about the things behind the government. We're talking about the dark powers. We're talking about the demonic realm that is behind the world system. And you meet up against it every day of your life. You'll see areas where the enemy has people hold and bound. And Jesus is saying, as I build my church, the gates of hell, the powers of death, will not be able to withstand the church as the church moves forward. In fact, we're going to bring life into death. Amen? Amen? We're going to bring light into darkness.
And I just say that when we're moving forward, the flow will prevent the gates from closing.
That's it, yes, amen, that's it, or push it back, that's it. And this is the way it works. Now, this is what Jesus is saying to us. Take this in two ways. Take this personally this morning. This is your own personal walk with God as a believer. But also to take it as a body, as a church. Jesus says, I will give you the keys. Anyone got some keys this morning? Got some keys? Some nice jangly keys. Okay, they'll do, Simon. Okay, these keys, Jesus said, I give you the keys of my kingdom. What are keys for? Unlocking doors. See, Jesus gives a very simple word, and that we can all understand. He says, I give you the keys of my kingdom. So these keys are given to us to unlock. What else do keys do? They lock. So these keys of the kingdom are to lock things and to unlock things. That's what keys are there for. Very deep, isn't it? So you've all got that. And Jesus is saying this morning, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now what it literally means in the Greek is whatever has already been bound in heaven, you can bind it on earth. Whatever has already been loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. I don't have to tell you the particular thing that I prayed for, but I actually prayed something that I've already seen the answer this morning come, because I actually, God led me to lock something and to unlock something in prayer. I bound something in the name of Jesus. I came against something that I could see the devil was trying to hold something, someone, and I bound it in the name of Jesus and saw, and then I released something. I unlocked, so I locked something, said, you're not having that person in that part of their life any longer. And then I unlocked something, I loosed something, and there came a release. Do you see what I'm saying? And so God wants to teach us that he has already written it all out there in heaven. That's his authority. He gives us the keys of his kingdom, and whatever we bind on earth, that word bind means to forbid. That means that every one of us has authority from the Lord Jesus Christ to forbid things from happening. Amen. And the trouble is that very often we allow things to happen that we shouldn't allow to happen. And because we haven't exercised that authority, the enemy comes in and causes havoc and causes a mess. But when we rise up and we say, no, we're going to bind that, we forbid that from happening, this thing is going to stop. The moment we release those words of faith and we release God's word into a situation, the enemy that's holding that situation he's actually bound. You know what binding means. If I was to bind Les this morning with some cling film, if I had to wrap it up in cling, he'd be completely bound. He'd be like this, all right? He couldn't do anything. And that's exactly what we do. We bind, we forbid the enemy from activity. We actually bind him up from being active in a person's life or in a situation. And then the other thing that we do, so we bind, we forbid, we stop, we close, we lock that situation up that the enemy's had control over. And then we loose, we release, we start something, we open something, we unlock something into a person's life or into the church or into the world. We unlock something. And this is what this scripture is talking about. Jesus is saying that the way he builds the church is by his people, that's us, called out ones, decreeing with his authority and with his word and closing things down of the enemy and releasing the things of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. This is the way it works. This is actually how, I'd never seen it quite this way before, but Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not be able to withstand the forward marching church. And then he says how this takes place. We just read it. It happens through using the keys of the kingdom of heaven. When we use the keys of the kingdom of heaven, we can lock things up. Let's say it's sickness. If we operate with the authority of God, with the keys of the kingdom, we can command that sickness. We can bind that sickness from that person's life. Okay, we can bind the effect of that sickness in a person's life. We carry the authority, we forbid that sickness to have a dominion in that person's life any longer. We close it down. That's what it means to bind sickness from a person in the name of Jesus. But that's just one part of it. The next step is to release, is to loose and to release life and healing. Amen? Amen. That's how we heal the sick. We bind, we forbid, we get rid of that thing that the enemy's had a hold on in a person's life in the way of sickness, and then we loose the healing grace and the healing power of God with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, because the keys have healing in them. The keys have wholeness in them. The keys of the kingdom of heaven literally unlock and release life and health and wholeness into people's lives. And so Jesus is saying, this is how I will build my church when you start to exercise and use these keys. Okay? So just lift up your hands this morning. Just use a bit of imagination this morning, but just shake the keys around in your hands this morning. Just imagine you've got keys. You've got keys of the kingdom of heaven in your hand, right? And God wants you to use these keys to bind the enemy's work and to release the work of the kingdom. Amen. In Jesus' name. And Father, we just pray this morning as we lift our hands to you, Lord, that we will take hold. You enable us to take hold of the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, Lord,
to lock and to unlock.
Yes,
to shut down and to open up.
Yes, Lord,
to bind and to loose.
Yes,
Lord, to stop things, to lock things up and to unlock things and release things. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll use each one of us in this church to bind and loose. I pray as a church, when we pray, Lord, that you'll show us that when we pray, Lord, and pray your word and your will, Lord, that we have authority to see amazing things happen, to see miracles released, to see things turned around, not just here in Crawley, but, Lord, in government, Lord, nationally, Lord, in the media, in those different areas, Lord, where you want to come and reign and you want to bring your kingdom in, Lord. And we just give you praise this morning, Lord. And just make this confession to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the keys of the kingdom. I will exercise these keys. I will use these keys to bind and to loose, to stop and to start, to lock and to unlock, to release in your name. Lord, teach me how to do this. Teach me to exercise authority. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 And the Lord will do this. It's very important. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible, just these two verses. And it says, I tell you, you are Peter, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. There it is. But I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. So you imagine here, we take sickness because sickness is an evident thing. Let's use the example of when I was sick, when I had malaria. Okay, now it's already written in heaven that malaria is not God's will. Sickness is not God's will. So when I had malaria, it's come from somewhere else. It came from a mosquito. But actually, it all comes out of that demonic realm of disease and everything else. And when I had that malaria, what we declared what God's will was, which was total healing and total health and wholeness. That's what we declared. We declared one thing to be bound. We declared death and sickness to be bound. And we declared life and health to be loosed and released. That's literally what happened over those numbers of days when I was in this coma. And the result was this, was God had already written it down in heaven. God was not taken by surprise when I had it. I was, and probably some other people were, but God was not surprised. He knew what was going to happen. And he had already decreed that this thing is bound. But for it to be bound on the earth, it needs us, God's people, to actually speak those words of life and speak those words of binding and forbidding in the name of Jesus. Exercise that authority that we have as believers against the powers of darkness, against that demonic realm. And when we speak that word, the demonic realm has to actually move out of the way. The grip is broken. Amen. And in the same way, and that isn't enough, because there's one thing to bind the enemy, but if we don't loose the things that God wants, then the job's only half-baked. It's only half-done. The other part of the job is that we then release the word of God, and we loose and we release the things that God is speaking. And this is where I want to encourage you to, as you wait upon the Lord, we spoke the other week about waiting on the Lord, that as we wait upon the Lord, that means wait in faith, in expectation, and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you, he will show you how you need to pray for a particular matter. Like last night, I was driving on the way back from Bristol, Claire's down there seeing our daughter this week. And on the way back, I was praying in tongues and just praying. I asked God a question. I said, Lord, show me what this matter is. Show me how to pray against it. And then he began to show me a picture of, it was like a pit full of snakes. Now, I don't usually get those kind of pictures, but he showed me this pit of snakes. And then I understood what he was saying, so I've literally stopped up this pit of snakes. Now, I can't prove that to you this morning. It could have just been a picture. Maybe I had too much pizza the night before. But I know that driving back from Bristol last night with my eyes open, with my hands on the steering wheel, I knew that last night that pit of snakes is bound up. It's been stopped up. That means that the enemy cannot do anything further in this matter. And then I began to release and loose the word of God in a particular situation. And as God showed me how to pray, I knew with confidence that already something is beginning to change some more in that area. Do you see what I'm saying? This is so important that we understand God has given us the keys, that the authority to lock things up and to unlock things. And if you'll apply this in your life, in your personal life, in your family, for your children, for your relatives, in the workplace, perhaps financially, you can apply this to every area. Hear what God says and then exercise authority. If you see that the enemy is at work in a particular area, then you bind it. You forbid it from continuing that in that cycle or in that way. You command it to stop in the name of Jesus. And get the Bible out, get the Word of God, get some scriptures that back up, that God will speak to you, that actually put into words, in black and white, the things that you're sensing in your spirit. And then speak those words out, those words of life. Does this make sense? And I think, I believe that God is wanting to raise the church up for us to become a militant people who will be militant in the things that we believe in these days. If we don't rise up, then the devil certainly will. And this is why we must bind and we must loose, we must forbid and we must release in the name of Jesus so that the kingdom of heaven can come on the earth. And when we start this whole series on prayer, we said that the whole matter of prayer is about getting God's kingdom, bringing God's kingdom down on the earth. God's kingdom is God's reign. It's all about God's reign. So you and I are here to bring God's reign, allow God's reign to come into our own lives, and then establish that reign in the spheres of our influence wherever we go, starting with our families and going out into the workplace and the communities and the different places where God has called us to live and to be. We are to bring that kingdom influence in that place. And the way that it works, it'll work as you exercise your authority in prayer when you get hold of these keys, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, whatever you declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. It's a bit like a traffic warden. It's a bit like a traffic warden. A traffic warden, I had a really bad experience in the summer, was unfortunately I parked in this car park and put me money in the, stuck the ticket on the windscreen, and I misread what it actually said on the sign as I went in. I really did, sir. I really did. I misread it. And I thought we had 2 hours. But we actually only had 1 hour. And guess what happened? A happy traffic warden came along and slapped a ticket on there that said, if you don't pay within such a time, you'll have to cough up 60 quid. If you pay within, I think, 7 days, you pay £30. And it really disturbed me and upset me for a little while, trying to be a little bit careful with our money, that I'd misread a sign, and we were there for more than an hour. We were there actually just under 2 hours. And then with this thing on, it really made me quite angry. And then I had to sort of repent and do all the usual things that we do as believers. But you see, the traffic warden had the authority to slap a ticket on my car because my car shouldn't have been in that car park because I had a ticket just for 1 hour. And so the traffic warden had no authority of his or her own, but the authority had been given to them from, in this case, the local council. And so it's already written down there in black and white from the council. If you see somebody in our car park who hasn't got the assigned ticket, then this is what you can do. Now, we're not traffic wardens, okay, but we've been given authority. That's what I'm saying, is the traffic warden's working on somebody else's authority that says, I'm going to slap a ticket on you. And we're to slap tickets on the devil. It's about time that the devil is illegally parked in lots of places. And we need to start, maybe we're spiritual traffic wardens. I got a revelation of it this morning. Maybe we're to go around slapping tickets of enforcement on the devil. Say, devil, you can't have this person in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off of him or her. You have no right over their life. The blood of Jesus was poured out for that person. I bind you. I command you to leave this person. I break your grip over their life. And praying, and then praying in tongues, praying in the spirit. That's how I do it. And then praying back in English again. And get a bit aggressive in prayer and start releasing authority that you have. If you ever start feeling depressed, ever start feeling low, anyone ever been there? What do? You take authority. You take authority over the devil. If it's coming from the devil, if it's just coming from you, then take authority over you. But don't allow yourself to come under those feelings and thoughts of depression. They don't belong to the new person that you are in Christ. So slap a ticket on it in the name of Jesus and command it to go. And start rejoicing in God that you're a child of God, that you're joyful, that you're full of joy, even if you don't feel it at this present time, and that you begin to release praise to God. And I guarantee within 5 minutes, if you'll start exercising your faith, something will be loosed and released inside of you. What are we talking about? We're talking about walking in the authority of the Lord this morning, learning how to exercise our faith and our authority in prayer, and putting in the ticket, the enforce. We're God's enforcement officers, because God says that this earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof, doesn't it? This world belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to the devil. The devil's come here because of man's fall, but it doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to the Lord. And so our job is to see God's kingdom come and God's will being done in all those different areas of life that we touch every day of our lives. Have you got the message this morning? So what we need to do is we need to learn how to pray and what to pray. And I'm going to ask you, if you just link up with, we'll get into groups of three this morning. And I just want you to think for a moment of something that is either happening in your life or is happening in somebody else's life or maybe happening in the church that you're aware of that shouldn't be. And I want you to, don't make a big meal of it, don't have to give all the details, just say what it is and say, I know that this isn't right. And so together, just take hold together and in the name of Jesus, literally use the word, I bind the work of the enemy in this situation or in this person's life. I take authority, I take the keys of the kingdom, and I bind what has already been bound in heaven. God's already written the ticket out in heaven. It's for us to take hold of that ticket and slap it on this work of the enemy. It may be sickness on someone, it could be 101 different things. But we take that ticket from heaven and we exercise that authority and I say, I forbid it today, I lock it up in the name of Jesus. I lock the devil's work up in this person's life today in the name of Jesus. And then you pray the release. You say, in the name of Jesus, I release, with the keys of the kingdom of heaven, I release whatever it is you're releasing to them from God's word. Whether it's healing, I release the power of healing to them. I release financial provision to them in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says that whatever we release on earth has already been released in heaven. It's waiting for us to take hold of it in prayer and to speak it out. Now, if you take seriously this word and read it for yourself and start asking the Holy Spirit to help you to actually make this part of your prayer life, I guarantee you're going to see some mighty things happen that maybe you haven't seen much happen yet, but you're going to see mighty things happen if you exercise your authority as a believer. We as a church, when we meet together to pray, there's many things God wants us to begin to rise up and bind and forbid in the name of Jesus. Things not just to do with us as a church, but actually things to do with what's happening out there in Crawley, in Sussex, in the government, over our nation. And as we begin to use this word, exercise authority and speak his word, we can release God's order, God's kingdom, power, and God's will shall be done. See, God's given us a word that we're coming into a time of, this is a harvest time, it's a season for reaping. Do you think it's just going to fall into our laps? It'll come as we pray, as we go out, as we pray, as we intercede, as we bind and as we loose, we'll actually bring in the harvest. Great sheaves of harvest. This is a harvest time. This is a reaping season. But it won't come just for us waiting for someone else to drive the combine harvester and bring it all in. It'll come as we pray and as we pray with faith, as we bind the work of the enemy and loose and release the work of the harvesters. We're going to see many many people saved and delivered and set free. Amen. So just get into groups of about three, if you can, and just share together the one thing that you would like to pray about this morning, and you want to bind it, forbid it in the name of Jesus, and then you want to loose God's will and God's word in that situation. Just do it for a few minutes, and then I'll bring the meeting to a close. And just grip someone by the hand. A holy grip. Jesus said, I will build the church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you. Just turn to someone and say, just say it's you. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, and whatever you bind on earth, whatever you forbid on earth, is already bound in heaven, has already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose and release on earth has already been loosed and released in heaven. Father, as we grip a person's hand next to us, Lord, we pray that right through the church, Lord, that your grip will come upon us, Lord, in these days. Father, we thank you that you give us the keys of your kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, are given to us. Lord, that whatever we bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. And we pray, Lord, make us a group of people who are binders and loosers. Lord, who know how to exercise authority in your name, how to release your word, Lord, so that your kingdom, your reign can come in all those practical areas of our lives, of family, Lord, of the workplace, of our government, Lord, of this nation, Lord, of sickness and healing, and debt and release of provision, Lord. We just praise you, Lord, that you've committed into our hands the keys of your kingdom. And we praise you for it this morning. Make a declaration this morning. Just declare this with me. Say, Lord, I will use the keys of your kingdom to bind and to loose. Help me, Lord. Release me, Lord. Anoint me, Lord, to use that authority in the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come, your reign come, wherever I go. I release the reign of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now listen, this week, as you go out into this week, look for those areas where the reign of God needs to come.